We are going to talk today about the trade ministers from the U.S., 11 other Pacific Rim nations met for 5 days down in Atlanta, and they got the deal done on the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. The agreement right away spawned press release after press release from most trade organizations and ag groups, including the National Pork Producers Council, USDA, Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack on the TPP, and the American Feed Industry Association, all saying, we hail the agreement, it should be good for producers. And then the National Farmers Union says, hold the phone just 1 minute here. It's not perfect. So with us is National Farmers Union President Roger Johnson. Hello, Roger.
Good to be with you, Mick.
Thank you. So what is the chink in the armor, or what is the problem with the Trans-Pacific Partnership?
Yeah, well, first of all, no one's really been able to see all the details. So I think everyone is sort of justifiably reserving the right to make more detailed comments once you see the actual language. What we do know, though, is that one really big issue that has been of growing importance for a number of years is not being addressed in TPP. And I would consider that to be a fatal flaw. And that is the issue of currency manipulation. Most folks know that agriculture has had a positive trade balance for a long time, although it's been getting smaller in recent years. It's still been largely positive, which is a very good thing. The problem, however, is that the rest of the economy has a very large trade deficit. And so the little surplus that agriculture contributes is swallowed up in the rest of the deficit that's created. And that deficit results in literally millions of jobs that have been offshored, and it results in significant declines in our economic growth or GDP. The principal reason for that deficit, responsible for about half of the total deficit, is the issue called currency manipulation. The largest practicer of currency manipulation is China, and I know that the president and others are saying the benefit of TPP is that it's going to set the rules for the rest of the world to follow, and then therefore it's going to influence China. There might be a little bit of truth to that, but the fact that it totally fails to consider the issue of currency manipulation, and China is by far the largest currency manipulator, if you're the Chinese, you got to be looking at this thing and saying, hey, we won again without even being part of it. We have got to deal with this issue. If we don't, we are just going to continue to have the kind of results that we've had over the last 40 years. In the last 40 years, this country has had growing trade deficits that result in lost jobs and lost economic growth.
Farmers are pretty familiar with how China manipulates the U.S. commodity market. They will make an announcement, or they'll do something, or cancel, or make an order, and then that all of a sudden the markets make a big move, and then the next day China will do something that will benefit them financially.
Sure, or if they really need corn, they close their eyes and they take everything that comes, and suddenly when they decide, oh, we got enough corn, they find out that, oh, there's some biotech event in here that we've been buying for the last 2, 3, 4 years. Suddenly, we don't like that, we haven't approved it, so we're going to stop all the shipments, and you have these enormous trade disruptions that happen as a result of it. China is probably the classic example of a country that just doesn't follow the trade norms that much of the rest of the world agrees to. I mean, this was the reason that was used to bring China into the WTO about 15 years ago or so when that happened. And yet they are the country that violates the terms of the WTO rampantly, frequently, at greater frequency than virtually any other country in the world. So, I mean, we've got to, if we don't deal with this big issue of currency manipulation, it just sort of obviates all the rest of the gains. I mean, we can get, and we have received under this, from what we understand, there are going to be there are going to be advantages to a lot of the ag commodities because we're going to have lower tariffs or we're going to have larger quotas that are going to allow larger amounts of our products to go into these foreign markets. But if at the same time that you get a lower tariff, let's say you pick up 10 or 20% because of a tariff reduction over a period of years, if at the same time that country or those countries end up reducing their currency valuation such that we suffer a 20 or 30% disadvantage in the market, you've erased all the advantage that you gained with the trade agreements. That is why a majority of the members of Congress have also weighed in on this question and demanded that the administration consider currency manipulation and deal with it in the TPP. Unfortunately, that request from Congress is not being honored. The administration opposed it, and so there was sort of watered-down language that was included in the fast-track legislation. And it's from everything we understand right now, currency manipulation is not going to be a part of this deal. And, you know, it's like this is the huge hole in the bottom of the boat that just continues to drag the economy down.
What element of the ag economy will most likely suffer? I know a lot of our soybeans go to China or Pacific Rim countries. Pork, chicken, even beef now, to Japan, they're a big customer of ours. What segment of the ag economy may suffer the most from currency manipulation?
Well, any segment that does a lot of business with a country that manipulates currency. That's the only way you can really answer that question, Mick. So Japan has historically been a currency manipulator. China's a big manipulator. So a lot of whatever the products are that are sold into those countries, Japan's a big buyer of spring wheat. There is more access into China provided for beef. From what we understand under the TPP. So those would ostensibly gain initially because of the reduction in the tariffs that are applied to beef that goes into Japan. But if, on the other hand, Japan turns around and manipulates its currency such that products from the U.S. become more expensive and products from Japan into the U.S. market become cheaper, then you sort of lose the advantage of what you negotiated in the deal.
Let me read you the news release from USDA. The TPP agreement would not be possible without the extraordinary efforts of the negotiating team at the Office of U.S. Trade Representative, assisted by the dedicated staff of USDA's Foreign Ag Service and the Office of Chief Economist. Failing to grasp this opportunity would be a mistake. So is it just the best possible deal done, and they didn't get a chance to deal with currency manipulation, or was it purposely left out, do you think?
No, I think it was purposely left out. There was a judgment, a political judgment made by the administration that they would not be able to get the right kind of agreement put together if they insisted on currency manipulation. And it was not one of the things that they insisted on when they first started talking about TPP. And despite all the requests from members of Congress and others, this issue has bubbled more and more and more to the surface. So I think, what the Secretary is saying is 100% predictable. I mean, he is a very, very good team player. The administration is supporting this. Of course, every member of the cabinet is going to support TPP. They have no alternative. And frankly, agriculture ends up probably doing better than most other segments of the economy under these agreements. And if that's as far as we look, you might say, well, let's do this deal. Unfortunately, we shouldn't just look at this one segment and say, if this is going to be a little bit better off, then let's throw the rest of the economy under the bus here. One of the truisms about agriculture and rural America that I know you know and all of your listeners understand is that most farmers also have off-farm income. They or their spouses do. And you have to have a robust agricultural economy that's providing good-paying jobs in those rural communities if you're really going to have the kind of quality of life that you want in agriculture. And so if we have an agreement that gives us a little more income on the ag side, but at the same time ends up destroying some of those local jobs, are we really better off?
Good question. I guess we need a separate deal, the Trans-Pacific Currency Manipulation Partnership, although it probably wouldn't be called that. So,
yeah, I'm not sure what it will be called. Unfortunately, this is one of those issues that's been talked about for years but never really effectively dealt with. And, you know, when it comes to the trade agreements, the trade guys say, you know, this currency belongs at the IMF or it belongs at the World Bank or it belongs at the UN or it belongs somebody else is supposed to deal with it, not the trade piece. And unfortunately, none of those other entities deal with it either.
All right, very good. Roger Johnson, National Farmers Union President, thanks so much for your time. Thanks for your attention to detail. Hope you have a great week in D.C.
Same to you, Mickey. Take care.
I bet. Bye now.